Mark chapter 1. I'm just going to say to you that, and I've said it before a couple times, God has a real sense of humor. And I'm being completely reminded of it this morning. So I'll allude to it a little bit maybe more, but I'm feeling like there's a lot to do in a short amount of time, and I'm stressed, all right? So, the Word of God. Again, Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, and he took her hand, and he helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many and who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. This is the Word of God. Busy, busy, busy. Over the last few weeks, we have spent a lot of time in this first part of Mark. And if we really look at what's gone on, you realize how busy, busy, busy Jesus has been. I mean, it all started with this whole idea of Jesus' baptism. Remember, we talked about the birth of John, and we talked about that connection between moms and how the babies knew who each other were before they were even born, and then the baptism comes. And the Spirit descends on Jesus, and things are radically changed, and people go, "This is someone to be reckoned with." Then it was the temptation that quickly followed as Satan gets a chance to really wrestle with Jesus. And after that, Jesus declares the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand, and amazing things are going to take place as people are pointed towards a living God. It's after that that he calls his disciples. Soon after that, he goes and he teaches in the synagogue. It's there that he drives out the evil spirits. Everything is happening one on top of the other. The community is being stirred up. Everything is out of control. And today we hear that he heads to one of the disciples' house. He heals his mother-in-law and again brings her from her sickbed. He heals someone with that evil spirit. He reaches out to the people of the community and heals people physically and spiritually. The whole town gathers outside of his door. Things are crazy. It is busy, busy, busy. Jesus is a rock star. And yet Jesus is drained. Imagine all of that activity. Imagine all that craziness that's taken place. He's drained. How many of us have felt that way? How many of us, when we hear that word busy, or when we hear that trilogy of busy, 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 "I am so busy," that's the way we feel. Like everybody wants a piece of us. that life is being kind of sucked out of us. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's scheduling workouts and dinners and meetings. We're busy. We're busy. We even love sometimes to be able to tell people, oh, I can't. I'm so busy. I saw it this week. I saw it as I ran through my schedule, as I took a moment because, hey, I had to get some gas. And so I pulled into the Meyer gas station. I pulled in and my car was here. I fill up on my side, so I'm filling up my gas here. And over here, in zooms this guy in his work truck. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name on the work truck, okay? But there's his work truck. He flies in 100 miles an hour, slams on the brakes, hops out of the truck. He's on his cell phone. He starts to gas up his truck. You can tell that he's writing stuff down. He's had at least a couple conversations. He's texted several times. He's, I think, even checked some emails. He's even decided, in the midst of all this, I got to get a smoke in. And so here he is walking around his truck several times, talking to people, lighting a cigarette. You can see it. He walks to, you know, that tailgate of his truck, and he's leaning on his truck. He's smoking. He's talking. And I'm watching. And I can see that this guy is just about ready. He's about ready to explode because busy. I'm going to explode here. But really, the reason that I was watching is because he was about to explode literally, all right? I watched, and as I watched, he was in his busyness and in his crazy. He finally gets the moment, leans on his tank like this. Meanwhile, his tank is full. The gas starts to run out of his truck onto the ground. I can hear it. I can see it, and it starts running towards him at the back of his truck as he's smoking his cigarette. I slowly step away from my car. I hide like this, thinking this guy's going to blow up in 1 second here. Luckily, he saw, I think my eyes go like this, and he saw me move away, and he suddenly looked back, and the next thing I know, literally, he took and he threw his cigarette, which I thought, why would you throw your cigarette? He was about ready to explode. 60% of Americans name one thing as a reason that they don't have a closer relationship with God. 60% of Americans name one thing as a reason they don't have a closer relationship with God. And do you know what it is? They're too busy. They don't have time for God. Busy, busy, busy. So what do we do? What did Jesus do? We read that story, and what jumps out in that story is that in the midst of the rock star nature of his life, in the midst of being a hugely popular figure, in the midst of a chance to have all the power he could have ever wanted, Jesus snuck away in the dark. And it's a lesson that we need to learn as people. I sat here thinking about all the things that have happened already today. I sat here looking at the watch and saying, okay, we got to go. Got to get the kids up. Got to get these done. Got to get that. Got to read this. Got to get communion. Got something after church. Got this. Got that. And God says, Paul, remember what you're talking about today. That Jesus was just as busy, if not busier, than you. And what did he do? He stepped away. Why did he step away? Number one, Because solitude rejuvenates us. I'm going to say it again. Because solitude rejuvenates us. I mean, let's face it. We hear it all the time in a little bit different version. We hear it all the time from friends and from family, acquaintances. Oh, I planned a getaway. I just had to get some time alone. I had to get away because it rejuvenated me. I hear guys say it all the time. Oh, I'm going on this fishing trip because I'm getting away. I'm going on a hunting trip or a golfing trip and getting away from all the craziness. And yet usually we're just as busy on those getaways. But we understand the concept that solitude or getting away can rejuvenate us. And in our busy schedule, as the phone calls come in and the emails come in, as we try to make everything fit, sometimes we need to just step away and say, I need to be alone. I need to focus my thoughts, my prayers. I need this solitude in order to rejuvenate, to recharge my batteries. And Jesus shows us that from the get-go, that amidst the craziness of his life, he stepped away. We need to step away before we explode. But also we need to learn from this passage that prayer nourishes us. Prayer nourishes us. Not only is it a matter of solitude where we get away, where we put away the phone, where we put away the craziness and just be at peace. But we also pray. We also talk and communicate with God. We also reach out in that solitude and build that relationship with the Almighty. But there's a little bit of a problem. And even in this passage, some people end up feeling guilty from the get-go. Because number one, it says very early in the morning while it was still dark. So first of all, everybody thinks that we've got to get up early in order to have solitude and devotional time. If you're not getting up at 4 a.m. and spending an hour in the Bible, well, then you're not a Christian. Well, it isn't about that. It's about solitude when you can find it. Solitude when you can get it. But then the prayer comes. And some of us think that prayer needs to be that amazing, overwhelming experience of something happening. And if it's not that, then God's not listening. Prayer is about building the relationship. Prayer is about being able to say, I'm going to be here and be in solitude and silence because I want to listen. Because I want to share from my heart. Prayer isn't about a TV image. I read a little bit of a story, shall we say, about some people who wanted to buy a dog. But they were pretty religious people. They were Baptists, let's just say. And so the husband and the wife looked at each other and said, we're going to need to get a Baptist dog. And so they went to the pound and they looked at these rescue dogs and they said right from the get-go, just want you to know, we're Baptists and we need a Baptist dog. And so the worker at the pound said, I've got just the dog for you. And they're like, really? And he brings out this dog and he sets him out in front of the people and he looks at the dog and he says, go get the Bible. And the dog runs over to the bookcase, grabs the Bible and brings it back and sets it down right in front of the people. They were like, that's pretty cool. And he said, yeah, but that's not it. And the guy said, hey, listen, turn to Psalm 23. And the dog sat there and turned the pages with his paw right to Psalm 23. And so the people said, we need this dog. That's all there is to it. And so they bought the dog. They had some friends over. They showed him that they found this great religious Baptist dog. Showed him the tricks. And then people said, well, does he do regular dog tricks? And they thought for a minute, and so the owner looked at him and said, stood up and looked at him and said, heel. And the dog came running over, jumped up on him, pushed him down on the ground, put both paws on his forehead and started barking and howling and whining. And the wife looked at him and said, oh no, we got a Pentecostal, not a Baptist. We think prayer needs to be like that. And yet prayer is about the solitude, about putting away the busy, 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 about connecting with God and building that relationship and not exploding. So again, solitude and prayer. And this is why it's so important in my mind. Time, time with God clarifies our priorities. Time with God clarifies our priorities. Jesus was the rock star. People, the whole town, were gathering around his door. Everybody wanted a piece of him. He was doing amazing things. He was a legend already. And yet he steps away. He prays and talks to his Father. And when his disciples come in their own worldly way and say, where have you been? It's busy, busy, busy. He says, let's go. Let's go to the next town. Let's go to the next town where I can preach and where I can teach and where I can touch people's lives, because that's why I came. How easy would it have been to be sucked in to the crowd? How easy would it have been sucked into the popularity? How easy would it have been to be off course of what he was called to? He had to step away, find some solitude, pray and build the relationship, and reprioritize his life. And say, the number one thing I'm here for is to go to the next town, and the next town, and the next town, and the next town, and teach people about the love of God, my Father, and the kingdom of God being at hand. Folks, we're all jumping out of the truck. We're all on the phone. We're all checking our emails and our texts and our calendars. We're all running around lighting the cigarette, and the gasoline is dribbling right towards us, just waiting. Just waiting to blow up. We need to take a step away and find that solitude and build that prayer relationship and prioritize our life in a godly, Christ-centered manner. But if we don't step away, let's be honest, if we don't take a little time, we're just going to keep running around the truck, talking on the phone, checking the emails, lighting the cigarettes, and be completely oblivious to the gasoline that's running our way, waiting to explode. Busy, 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 busy. We need to take that step and build that relationship with God. Amen.